Really wonderful. You know, my sound is not so good. I don't know why. But you're playing and this just beautiful. The raga is really beautiful.
It was a very beautiful raga.
Very beautiful raga. My sound is a little off, so I didn't get the full impact, but I could see and what I could hear of it was wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Om Shri Sache Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Paramatma Ki Jai, Gurudev Bhagawan Ki Jai, Sacha Sangha Ki Jai. Namaste, everyone. Thank you, Pradeepa Mutriva. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure, gentlemen.
Thank you. My eyes are a bit swollen today. For the last couple nights, my sleep has been disturbed. I woke up, I think, night before last at 2 o'clock and stayed up till 4:30. And last night, woke up at 1 o'clock and stayed up till 6 o'clock. Went back to sleep. I got my 6 hours in, but with a five-hour interruption. Nothing really on the mind, not really an insomnia, just wouldn't go back to sleep. So anyhow, there it is. I speak to you for just a moment on detachment, because I feel like people have the wrong idea about detachment. And I'd like to clear that up a little bit. And also that spiritual people only see the goodness in everything. Only the goodness in everything. Well, that's not true. They see everything in everything. They see the good in everything. They see the terrible in everything. And they remain in their heart, in their center, and know that that is the condition of the world. It's either a paradise, and well, let's say sometimes it's a paradise, and sometimes it's a hell region. And some people live in a paradise, and some people live in a hell region all the time. There's a huge spectrum. Detachment has got to be the most beautiful love that there is, because, well, let's look at it from a very specific angle first. Detachment means I have no view, I have no opinion, I don't see this, I don't see that, I'm far from it, I'm equal in my heart, I'm, you know, and all these statements. Real detachment is divine love. True detachment is divine love. And our team was talking about it a little bit. I was talking about it with the team, and the team spoke to me a little bit about it too. That true divine, unattached, detached love cannot be moved or shattered. It cannot be moved with opinion. It cannot be moved with what anyone does in their life. It cannot be measured a little more here and a little less here. It's like, how would you measure the space in the room? I mean, you could say only by its confinement of the walls. Let's say, how could you measure all of space? Buddha asks Shibhuti in the Diamond Sutra, wonderful. Shibhuti, can you measure all of space above you? And Shibhuti has to consider, that's a big, big, no, I can't, it's impossible. And he says, well, Shibhuti, can you measure all of the space below you? Below the earth, below, that goes below. And Shibhuti is like, these are things I've never considered before. No, world honored when I cannot. How about to this way, Shibhuti? Can you measure it this way over here to the east? Let's call it the east. Can you measure all of space as far as it may go in the direction of the east? No, world honored one, I cannot. How about the west, Shibhuti? Can you do that? No, I cannot. No, well, this is divine love. It's immeasurable. It doesn't, this love doesn't favor one being over another. And yet, one can see that there's this goodness, this not goodness, this place where they exchange the up, the down, the in-between, the harshness, the beauty, cannot be measured in love. And that's true detachment. That's true detachment. Because you can see that there's wars going on. You can see that there's harshness happening. You can see that there's beauty. You can see that there's new babies being born, beautiful, and people are very good to each other and not good to each other. And yet this love is untouched, cannot be shifted. When you see it and you live it and you, I'm going to use the word cherish it in your heart, then you will be like Shibuti. I can't measure it north, south, east, or west, world-honored one. No, I cannot measure. I cannot. So, there it is. Detachment is beyond anything we can imagine, and always sets things in our heart . It's the root of I can't help but love. I can't help it anymore. No matter what happens, this or that, high or low, right or wrong, in between, I am detached in the love of God and God's love. I love to say God. I love it. Mm-hmm. Feel it's really important. Anyhow, I wait for your hands. You might contemplate now what is a love so great that cannot be cracked, cannot be measured, cannot be given, cannot be taken away? Michael.
Namaste, Shantimai.
Namaste, Michael. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. All the better for seeing you.
Ah, thank you. Me too. Me too.
Yeah, just a couple of things. The main thing I wanted to do is, of course, you Americans are celebrating Thanksgiving this weekend. And so I just wanted to say how thankful I am for you and for you being in my life and for your teachings and your love. So I just wanted to offer that to you.
Thank you. Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Yes. Yes. And it's, I love that you started your talk today with, detachment and seeing the world as it is. And it made me think of, something Ram Dass said that I always liked. He said about the world, he said that it's beautiful and it stinks.
Yeah.
I always loved that,
who said that?
Ram Dass.
Oh, Ram Dass, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And the other thing, I had a question for you. You know, I've been listening, I guess, I don't know, four times now, the September the 8th satsang. And you did a talk on love at that satsang. And there was a couple of things that struck me. You know, it's interesting sometimes with you that, you know, something comes out and it just seems so simple and so fundamental. And I think, like, how would I have not seen that, you know? But In that talk, you referred to Shams, Rumi's guru, and you know that God is love, and that the universe is a creation of love. So how could I not be love? You know, like how, you know, am I not part of the universe and part of that creation? You know, and that just seems so fundamental to me, but so rich, you know, like so, you know, I guess it really helped me to kind of grasp what we're talking about when we're talking about love and that notion that if I'm love, then I'm never without love, you know, and it kind of takes away that thing about, you know, who I love and who I don't love and who loves me. And it's, you know, it's, is that love is always there.
That's right. And you, can I come in here or you carry
on?
No.
I do have a question, but you go. Yeah.
Well, you go ahead, please, then.
Yeah. Well, one of the things you brought up in that thing was that, it's through, difficulty that we come to love, or through that your heart needs to be broken. And I think I know what you mean by that, but I wanted to hear from you what I think of that as it's through some kind of surrender, but I don't know if that was how you hold that or not. But
I don't know either, but, I was grappling with a scripture yesterday. I don't even remember the scripture, and I don't remember why I was reading it, actually. I was reading it online for some reason. One of the movie stars had made a wonderful poem about God saying no to him all the time. I asked God for redemption. He said, no, redeem yourself. I made your life. You know, and it's really beautiful. Oh. And Lord, will you help me? Will you help me and cease my suffering? And God said, no, when you suffer, you're closer to me. And it really irritated me, I tell you the truth. I was just like, how? I'm going to scrap this poem right now, because that's, I don't know where this, but it bothered me, because do we need to suffer to be close to the one within us all that has brought all of this into a universe of experience? Do we need to suffer to be close? Do we need to do anything to be close? Shall we not realize that God, or that extreme creative intelligence that creates baby star nurseries, let's just say that, and planets and cosmos? Or is it that no matter what happens, whether we suffer or we're in love or we're changing something drastic in our lives, or we are remaining the same, or we have a family, or we're homeless, or whatever it is, why is it that we would have to suffer to be closer to God? So this heartbreak, I don't know what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder, just from my own experience, that it, in our darkest moments, even the non-believer might say, God, help me.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's particularly when they will say that.
Yeah. And I think of there's a song by Leonard Cohen. The song Suzanne, but in that song he says,
"Yeah, I love that song."
He says, "And Jesus was a sailor when he walked upon the water.
That's
and
right.
He spent a long time watching from his lonely wooden tower. And when he knew for certain only drowning men could see him, he said, all men will be sailors then until the sea shall free them." And I think that speaks to that thing about surrender. Like there's times in our lives when we just give up and say, and reach out. And that's maybe what that means. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And reach inwardly, right? That's a very, I love Suzanne. Suzanne takes you down by a place. I don't remember the words, but
by the river. Oranges that come all the way from China. Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful poem. I can myself, I don't know. I don't think I need suffering to be close to God. But it's true. It's true that that there's kind of a calling. There's kind of a giving up. There's kind of I put my hand, myself in your hands, and personalizing God, you know, as a particular being that actually holds everything, in his or her or the hands. And there's such deep, profound spiritual comfort in surrender.
Well, there's a freedom in it, isn't there? Yeah.
Yes.
I don't have to do it all.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You take over, I listen, I follow, I do. And it's really listening to one's heart. You know, like Krishna says, and my experience is that God lives in every single molecule. My astrologer was telling me the other day that Paramahamsa Yogananda said, in the center of the molecule, very deep within the subparticle where nothing is vibrating, there is Christ consciousness in every molecule. I think that is so beautiful. We must see it as Shubhuti saw it, that it's immeasurable and incalculable and everywhere and vast beyond and right here in our heart. This is very, very important, especially now, especially now. With the world being as crazy as it is, we have to turn to the love of God. I mean, I don't know what that means to people. You know, my astrologer said two things that kind of bothered me because I don't see it that way. But if somebody sees it that way, then that's the way they see it, right? So he said, one time he said, one day you'll stop attempting to convince the Sangha of God, that God exists. And then he said, one day you'll stop attempting to convince the Sangha of to live a spiritual life. And I thought about it, you know, and I don't think I can convince anyone of anything. I actually don't think I'm a convincer. I think I'm a reminder.
Reminder, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I wouldn't want to like pin somebody down and say, you just have to think like this. You just have to see it like this. If you don't see it like that, there's something wrong, right? No, no, no. Hey, listen up to what you remember in the depths of your being and you know is so. And you may frame it in different words. You may see it in a different way. You may, I'm going to use this crazy, trendy word. You may embrace it in a way that nobody else does or can. But remember, remember, remember.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that I think, you know, we see it when we see it. You know, it's not, can't be talked into it. You know, I think of my journey with you, it's been a number of years now, and it's, you know, things are dropping in, and I'm starting to see, you know, through repetition and through hearing.
And
the
through remembering.
Over and over again, and just remembering, yeah, I love that.
Now, you know, Michael, the repetition is like, it's like going through the forest, and it's like step and 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 step. And I can't, again, I'll use a very feeble word. Something is remembering and remembering and remembering and remembering. And we have these times that go, whew, oh my gosh, I'll never unsee that. And then there's these times that go, well, where am I? Why isn't something happening? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But remember, remember. Don't be convinced by anyone. Remember, mm-hmm. inside yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one last expression of gratitude is for the journey you took us through in the Bhagavad Gita. That was so wonderful, and you know, I see myself going back through it. You know, because it's all there. We've got.
Oh, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of, Adhikari says I should offer you Upanishad, and I'm thinking of the Isha Upanishad because it's short, and I'd like to get some feedback on this. I would like to, it's short and potent. Short doesn't mean it's not potent. It's extremely potent. So we go to this Isha Upanishad, and maybe in between some of the slokas, we could even have another kind of transmission like we used to have. You know, something would come up and we would say, well, let's have this transmission on what's happening in the world and your place in it. And then we could go back to the Upanishad and have, what do you think about that?
Yeah. Count me in. Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds wonderful. Yeah.
Isha Upanishad is so wonderful. Yeah. And we will have a recording on our site that is absolutely beautifully done. And the translation on that site, there's many translations. They all come to the same point, but there's some parts of that translation that I would check another translation for. So the Isha Upanishad, it'll come up. I'll start next week.
Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Shanti Mai. Yeah. Namaste.
Namaste. Let's see who came next from Michael, Max and Gabriel. Love you, Mike. Michael.
Love you. Love you too.
I never call you Mike. I can't even imagine.
Lots of people do. Yeah.
I will stay with Michael.
Yeah.
Which one of you are going to say something? Uh-huh. Gabrielle. We can't hear you.
I know. I didn't have the sound. No, I haven't. Thank you. Oh, that was so lovely. I loved what you said about detachment and also what Michael said. Touched me very deep, much. And I would like to thank you for being in my life and everything you do and everything you give. It's been such a transformative force.
Yeah. In my life.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Knocking on the heart. That's all. Yeah.
And also about the Bhagavad Gita, I couldn't be more grateful. It feels like with the Bhagavad Gita, I found my Bible, something that, of that format of this is my book.
Yeah.
This is what I will keep going to and reading to, reading in and listening to the transmissions and also reading other voices. I just got a book, the Bhagavad Gita According to Mahatma Gandhi, which is just...
Excellent.
It's yeah, wonderful. Great. So I just keep going. It's thank you so much for putting me on this path.
Oh, you're welcome. I love the Gita and I love this exchange, this magnificent exchange on a battlefield, you know.
Mm.
Where this horrendous battle ensued was terrible. And Krishna gave everything to Arjuna before it started.
Mm-hmm. And I love the 18th chapter where everything is pulled together once more. And I thought I wanted to talk about renunciation today because that's such a strong force. But after you talked about detachment, something came to me to say, It has cleared now, listening to you and also listening to Michael and your interaction. But there were times when I would keep wondering the difference between detachment and just not wanting to feel, like having this kind of distance. So just don't touch me. Don't touch my heart, which is very familiar to me.
Right. Don't touch me. I am detached.
Yes.
I'm not in it. Well,
nothing will hurt me.
Nothing will hurt me. I will make no judgment, which is really good. I will make, I will not see anything. I will not speak anything. I will not hear anything. I think if it's done in the right spirit, meaning I can't help but love and whatever is going on, I just can't. I can't retreat from love, then I feel that is, I'm going to say a divine state of view, so to speak. And divine to me means undividable. But when you sit on a perch, yeah. And put your hands out and say, well, not me. I don't see anything. You know, there's some misunderstanding there. There's a bit of a misunderstanding about what detachment is. That's being attached to detachment.
Yes. And being attached to not feeling, not being, like not having the heart broken, like
right.
Not suffering.
That's maybe Michael's answer right there.
Yes.
No. Or not an answer, but an offering into what it is, that heartbreak. And still come out as even as space. As even as space, no matter what. As though you're sitting on the moon and watching the earth spinning in your heart. At a distance, but so ever so near. At a distance, but ever so... Distance only meaning I come out like this. Doesn't mean distance like this. Means equanimity.
Yes.
then it's really a divine... it's a divine beauty that's stemming from... the love in your heart, no matter what.
That's what I heard you say, that when this question arises, am I really detached? Do I just not want to feel anything? It's the love. It's the willingness to feel whatever.
Wouldn't you say also that detachment is surrender?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't see the difference except for the two words. There might be nuances that are different, but to be detached and surrendered to an incalculable, undefinable, inexhaustible, and true, what we can use the word love, that's true detachment and true surrender to the will of the divine presence within us all, within us all, within us all. It's beautiful because it brings everything even in the heart. You know, the heart just expands. It doesn't really expand. It just realizes how expansive, expanding is. It's really a clumsy way to say something, but it's exactly what I mean, but the words are not very poetic or piercing, that's for sure.
I understand what you say. That's wonderful. it feels like this is really... This is when you say when the rubber hits the road, this is a place I need to be willing to go. I can philosophy about all the words and the detachment and the renunciation and I can just...
Yeah, you can go within and find out exactly what it means to you. And then you go and you see what it means to you, and then you see that even though I understand what it means to me, I absolutely have no definition for this. It's the total stability and change of everything all of the time. And how can I say what that is? And yet, that's always been a... It's always been a kind of microscope, where I can see deeper and deeper and deeper, but I still have no definition whatsoever. I can't put it. I can't contain it. Yeah.
Thank you, Shantima. One last thing. I'm going to go into any text you suggest. I just love it.
Oh, okay, good, because I know some really good ones. Adhikari wanted me to elaborate on the Diamond Sutra, but I have to look it over again. It's pretty abstract. It's incredibly Buddhist, which is really beautiful. Just beautiful. But I feel we go to the Isha Upanishad first. And I will see that this pronunciation, this chanting of this Isha Upanishad is on our site. And it in itself will send you very deep. The person who chants this does it extremely well. But we may not use that... We may not use that translation all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it, Shantimaya.
Me too. We'll start this week.
Thank you.
Thank you too. Namaste.
Namaste.
I would have something to add to the suffering. Sure. I can. As I experience it, suffering is pain added. And added resistance to the pain. And so that's why we need suffering because it shows us where we resist. And so I had some experiences where I realized how fast and unconscious I judge other people. And so if I wouldn't have felt the pain of it, I would not have noticed. But no, so I felt an unbalance in how I related to that person. And in that, I could see how deep the judgment goes. And I could also see that it's always a judgment about myself.
And it's a split. It's a split. I am higher, or I am lower, or I am better, or I am worse. Mm-hmm. This is my view of this other person. It's like, or anything, any kind of judgment whatsoever. But that's also a kind of quality that gets confused, because then people think, oh, I can't, I cannot see the world. I have to see it through rose-colored glasses. And there's a discernment. Discernment is much more the way, capital W-A-Y, than judgment, because discernment can shift in a minute. Mm-hmm. I've seen it. Okay, what more? Where judgment, I've seen it, it is that way, it's going to remain that way, I see it that way, and I'm going to judge it that way, and I'm going to approach it that way, and that's the way it is. So judgment has much more of a cement quality, and discernment has much more of a, yes, I see it, yes, I see. I see that this is a thief, and I see that this thief is going to rob me if I let him in my house. You don't let him in your house, he goes away, then the nothing more. Or you invite him in and give him everything you have. You remember that there's a beautiful Zen story about a thief that comes in the evening to a Mahatma's hut. And the Mahatma says, what are you doing here? And he says, I'm a thief and I'm going to take all you have. And he says, go in and take all I have. And he does, and I think it must be a towel or something. The Mahatma doesn't have a lot. And he sits out of his door, and he's looking in the sky, and he says, oh, how I wish I could give him the moon. Mm-hmm. So there's so many ways to look at everything, but when you will sink yourself in a surrender to detached, divine love, that will show you the way. That'll be your guide for life. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
For certain, 100%.
And I think it's also clear that when I just discern, there is no push in the energy. No, nothing has to change.
Right. And you don't have to be better than the thief.
Yes.
Swami, what was his name? Shivananda, from the Shivananda. He used to say, every saint at one time was a sinner, and every sinner is going to be a saint. And so he says, you know, it's that way.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Ali. We close with Ali, because I'm going to get some sleep tonight. My eyes are going like this. How are you, Ali? Don't hear you.
It's okay now, yes.
Yes.
I'm fine, thank you. And I have two small questions to ask you. One is that you spoke about detachment. When we are doing the silence meditation and I can listen to my heart beating, I have to be detached to listen to this or to this, or I can stay on this heart beating?
You know, detachment is a way of being. It's not a here or there. It's really a way of being. It's practiced out quite a bit by sometimes you see things going in a way that you would not want them to go. And you have no recourse, means no way to go except for this love. And it may not, again, it may not be a feeling. It's a commitment. It's a conviction that this is where to land always, because this equanimity of heart will reveal to you what real and true love is and what true detachment is. So it is a practice. But it comes up mostly with opinions. Mm. And judgments and measures. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand.
And your little halo, your little Italian halo begins to glow. It goes like detachment means I can do nothing but love, and I can see it all. I can see every single step of the way, and I might have a view about that, but my view dissolves in love. And why would you have a view to dissolve? Why not? Mm. I see the whole thing. I see it all. I see the goodness in it. I see the harshness in it. I see the difficulty in it. I see the beauty in it. And my heart says, come home and sit here in this way. And that's detachment. Don't go anywhere else. Be here. Be here. It's like the cross. It's like Jesus's cross right in the center, you know. Be right there. In the place that doesn't uphold opinions, but is not immune from opinions. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
Yeah. Okay.
And the other thing is that in the last satsang, Antisa spoke about Sangha. And because from 1 month, I am in a group that is going to clean the street. Before, I was doing it all by myself. And so I was feeling a little bit frustrated because
it's a big job.
Yeah. So now I am part of this group that is called the Angels of the Beauty and Angels. And so I go with them. And I think it is a kind of sangha because we are we have the same direction to go. Yeah. It's much more easy to be together than just one. So I think that is a kind of same that sangha or. Do you think there is a difference between?
There is a difference, but we can open that difference up. Sangha means the people who are like familied around a master.
Okay.
And yet, satasanga means coming together for the truth. So sangha in one way means gathering. You understand? So this
I don't know gathering after I go to see the word gathering.
Gathering means coming together, people coming together. So in this way, we can open it up. And yes, this could be a sangha. Why not? It would be a lovely thing to be as a sangha, particularly if you have angelic energy, huh? So wonderful.
Yes.
Keep up the good work. I'm going to ask humbly for your prayers that we get through this, whatever it is, and that Shanti Mai gets totally healthy again in her legs. Huh? Thank you. I'm asking everyone. Yeah. Yes.
You Thanks. Are always in my prayer.
I'm so happy to hear it. You know, when I had this situation with my ribs, it was terrible. And when Adhikari said, "Shall we ask for prayers?" I said, "Yes." And the next day, it was relieved. It was totally relieved. I think maybe one or two days, but very quickly after we asked for the prayers, there was absolute relief. And it was maybe the hardest moments I've ever had in my life with this thing. And it, like that. So I'm going to ask you, Sangha, again, Mahatma's here to put me through a procedure for a few days, and we want to see it work. We don't know how it works, but we want to see it work, and no doubt that it'll be beneficial. So, yeah. She comes all the way from Germany. I love it. My doctor comes to France from Germany. I just think it's so sweet. So very kind. Mm-hmm. Are you done with me, Ali?
Thank you, Shanti Mai.
You're welcome. Namaste, everyone. Let's go back to Mutriba and Pradeepji, the G's, and listen to them. I hope.
Hope.
Hope springs eternal. Forget hoping. Namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you so much. Namaste. Thank you so much. I love it that you bring India to us.
Yes. We meet in India.
Yeah. Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste, everybody. So here we have another meeting about India. As it currently stands, I'm not sure who has gotten emails and who has not and who's been in the meeting, so I'm just going to give a brief. Very excited to be at the Kumbh Mela, so he was probably talking about that. the current plan for India is that Shanti Maya will be in India from about February 9th through March 15th. She has asked us to arrange the possibility of attending the Kumbh Mela with her between the 9th and the 15th of February. And so we have a group journey that's planned out for that. There have been emails that have gone out, and I'll put the URL, the website in the chat window momentarily, so everybody can take a look at that if they haven't seen the information yet. But basically, we're asking everybody to be in Delhi by anybody who wants to go to the Kumbh Mela should be in Delhi by the 9th of December or 9th of February, rather. And we will pick you up at the airport, and we will bring you down to the Kumbh Mela on the 10th of February. I've already been in contact. If people are coming much earlier, like on the 8th or the 7th or even the 6th or earlier, we're going to individually bring you down to the Kumbh Mela. But everybody that's coming should be prepared to get on the train on the 10th of December in Delhi. This is the current plan, though it could be that if we have a small enough group, we might just go ahead and arrange for the flight to Prayagraj. The flights have their own issues and trains have their own issues. The Kumbh Mela has its own issues. So everybody should be very, very, very flexible, even more flexible than you think would be necessary. Just want to be very, very clear about that. It will be, it'll be a wonderful journey. They're expecting it to be the largest Kumbh Mela ever. I guess every year it happens to be because there are more people on the planet. But it will be quite a wondrous, challenging, experience for people not coming to the Kumbh Mela. Shanti Maya will be traveling with the Sangha up to Rishikesh by about the 15th or 16th of February. And we'll have our time there together as a Sangha with Shanti Mai just like it was this past year, basically, with satsangs Monday through Friday, other things as they arise. And it will likely be Shanti Mai's last time in India in this way. So anybody who is thinking about going, it would be a wonderful thing to get there, for sure. There may be other journeys to India for Shanti Maya in the future. But it does feel like for the last 10 or 15 years, we've been saying, maybe this is the last time. And I'd even started calling it our annual last trip to India. But this does feel like it could be very much that. Also on the playing field is that everybody's seeing the emails from Shanti Mai. If Shanti Mai is unable to come to India because of her body or for some other logistical reason, the time of the Kumbh Mela will remain structured as it is. We will provide the services that we've promised, and we can discuss as a Sangha how to manage the time at Sachadam. But our prayers will be that Shanti Mai is feeling exceedingly well and not just okay, but fantastic for the journey. We're going to ask everybody to be signed up. At least let me know that you're planning on coming. I know there have been some sign-up issues. Some cards aren't going through on the website. I've been working with our payment processor, and their decline alerts on their automated system are set way too high. I'm writing to them. I know these people. I'm talking to them. I know that it's not a fraudulent situation, but it keeps happening. It might be because we're a new credit card taking entity. There might be a lot of things with that, but don't concern yourself. This is not a business arrangement of some kind. This is Sangha. We're doing this together. So if it turns out you show up having not paid, that's all, that will also eventually be okay. But as you can imagine, it will help greatly if people do pay ahead of time so that we can make sure that we're not walking from Delhi to Prayagraj. Though in the end, that might be the best way. Okay, so we are going to go ahead and go with Ken. Ken G.
Namaste, Sahara G. Namaste.
Stay, Ken.
So just like to know, you know, when we get to Prayagraj, will we be dropped off where we're going to be staying, or is there quite a bit of a walk from either the airport or the train station I know whether to bring a backpack or a wheelie bag?
I'm going to get Sanatan and his brother Shashwat on board here. More, bring him on.
Hello,
Saraji. Hariom Sanatan and Shashwat.
Hariom Saraji. Namaste, everyone.
Namaste. Namaste, Sanatan. Hariom. Hariom.
They've lived through a number of Kumbh Melas, so they will have a better idea
what to do. Sure.
So what we've discussed, just really in brief, is that when we meet in Delhi, we will provide a way of gathering everybody's bags and getting them up to Rishikesh and storing the big suitcases so that people can carry only their light bag. And I'll let Sanatan and Shashwat take it from there.
Sanatan, you can go ahead. Yes.
Yeah. So, thank you. Yeah.
So if we're just carrying backpacks, then that's not a problem at all. But in fact, even if we're carrying bags with wheels, it's not a problem because vehicles can simply come up to the guest house. Perhaps not a big bus, but an SUV, of course, by all means. Uh-huh. So, I mean, it's not that big a problem. We can definitely have those bags.
So,
Yes.
Do you foresee us walking from the train station or the airport to the guest house, or?
I mean, if you want to walk, we're not going to stop.
Whatever is easiest for us to transport ourselves and the luggages. To the guest house. That's what I'm looking for.
I think we'll be able to manage that from the airport. Not a problem.
So some SUV, some transportation is going to be arranged, you're saying. Yes, yeah.
We'll have people to set all the luggages in the cars and everything, in fact.
Right. So, and then when we're out and about, is there going to be a lot of squeezing and jostling? And is there going to be lots of people just like, there's no room to move about, or can you still walk about quite freely in a way?
That's a very good question and quite a detailed one. So, yes, thank you for that.
No, so not at all.
We on normal days and under normal circumstances, of course, it's going to be a wide enough space for everyone to enjoy, have a very good time, and, you know, be by themselves. It's just few specific locations and few specific dates in which one is squeezed, sort of, not everywhere. Even on those specific dates, you have to be on those specific spots for you to feel that. Mm-hmm. And the reason for you to be there would be to, you know, see some attraction. which is a various number of things. So one can decide, you know, once one is here, they can decide whether or not they want that kind of a rush to actually see what's going to be there. So it's not everywhere and all the time. No, you're going to be all very well settled. In fact, very comfortable, to be honest, like everywhere. The weather will be favoring most of the times. So we tend to, because we tend to think more about all the wrong things that happen, like personally, all of us, because we have to plan around it, you know, around those changing factors. But not the people don't have to really worry about it. Like, it will not
okay.
be that.
Yeah. So from a personal safety and physical safety perspective, there shouldn't be anything to worry about, even if it
no.
feels like lots of people.
No.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you so much.
Of course, you're welcome. It was just, so for example, like these prominent bathing dates. So mm-hmm. at that time, if you are, you know, wandering, because through the night, a lot of people start showing up on foot. So at that time, it's not that you would not be safe. It's just that you would see a lot of people.
Of course, yeah.
So, I mean, as far as I can know, that's...
No. It's just like anywhere with crowd management, when there's a big crowd, right? Crowd management can be an issue at times. But I'm sure you guys know very well what is, you know, how to handle all that.
And luckily, the premises of the guest house will be very secure and very safe. So no outsiders or something, you know, like there will be no crowd or rush over there around in and around the guest house. So that will be very great. Yes,
of course. Thank you.
It's pretty secluded also.
Have high gates and high walls. So we'll be exactly. safe within our, with even if there is, for some reason, a rush towards the Sangam while we are there. I don't, from what I've taken a look at, there aren't any major bathing days during our time.
Ah, okay.
So that won't be an issue. There may be issues with trying to get to Varanasi.
Right.
The more we look at that, we just found out somebody, you know, a friend of Sanatan's and Saswat's was going to Varanasi from Delhi even just now, and rather than being, you know, some number of hours, it was many, many more. So it may be that we are taking Varanasi off the schedule.
Yes.
But we will see. And it, because if it becomes, you know, a 2.5 or 3 hour bus ride is a very different thing than a 6 or 7 hour bus
mm-hmm.
ride.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. Just playing by ear.
You're not, you know, even leaving in the morning, you're exhausted by the time. So it mm-hmm. might be, you know, and as advertised, you know, everything is up in the air. You know, the Kumbh Mela is going to decide a lot of things for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can't argue with the Kumbh Mela. I think that says it at Nevada somewhere. Don't argue with the Kumbh Mela.
I am prepared. I'm already, you know, to be flexible and adaptable. Yes, that's it.
And the construction for the all of the units is going exceedingly well. So people will be comfortable and it will look and good. You'll be glad to be there. And you might enjoy it so much you buy one of our t-shirts.
Been there, done that, eh?
My friend went. My doctor went to the Kumbh Mela, and all that got me was it.
And maybe, hopefully, never again.
Well, you know, never say never. But okay,
thank you. Namaste.
I have a question.
Dragana.
Yes, I'm sorry to ask again. I realize I've heard it a couple times and I need to hear it again. Sorry about the luggage. So we're arriving at Delhi and then you take the luggage to Rishikesh.
We'll provide a means for storing it and getting it to Rishikesh.
Okay. So
there are a number of ideas that all of them are good. So we will make sure that they are safe. But of course, you bring your, you know, your computer and your passport and
I have a guitar that I want to bring along. I will
bring your guitar.
Yeah.
Bring your guitar to the Kumbh Mela.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's always room for a musical instrument.
Good.
Please bring it even if you were not planning on.
What did you say, Sanatha?
I said, please bring it even if you were not planning on to bring it.
Okay. Okay, so then it's just about thinking how to pack a small backpack with clothes, huh?
And you know, and in the end, if people bring their luggage, we just hire another car and drag the luggage all
exactly,
around.
Yeah,
so it's to keep you from having to do unnecessary carrying of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be crowded, and it could be that for some reason, you know, there's like an elephant stampede that's keeping us from getting the SUVs close to the. Closely, so we might have to walk, even though we're not planning on walking. And it's just mm-hmm. The more mobile and agile you are, the happier you will be.
Okay. Yeah, I will think about it. Thank you.
Okay, most welcome.
Welcome.
Do we have any other questions, comments, suggestions, complaints? Shri, is there anything that you can think of at the moment?
No, it seems like it's coming along quite nicely. How are we? Last time you mentioned that you were nearly finished full in terms of single accommodation. So if anyone who's here that hasn't booked, and if you would like a single accommodation,
yes.
Still not.
If you have any specialized needs, the earlier you get in, the better we can handle those. It is the case that everybody will be comfortable. Everybody will be happy. Everybody's going to be so tired when they go to bed. It probably doesn't matter what they got. And you're going to get up early because there's going to be just crazy sounds coming from everywhere. So it's not like people are going to be hanging out in their, you know, luxurious single bedroom studio. Everybody's going to be at the Kumbh Mela. But that being said, if you, and I am this way, I would have gotten in first and gotten a single room. Cause that's just how I am, but some people really don't care as much. And in the end it won't have mattered that much. And and people will be, you know, separated. We'll have dividers and stuff. It's not going to be, nobody's going to be sleeping in the same bed with another person they don't know. We're making sure everybody will be comfortable there.
Yes, even the Saraji, if I may add, even the sharing rooms are so big that if we just put single beds, single separate beds, like four or five in a room, there's plenty of space for people to just, you know, be like, it's not even going, if they try, they might not even, their hands might not even reach. So that's, yeah.
Right. All right. So Malik.
Yes, you could unmute yourself for anyone that would like to. There you go.
Okay. This is not about the Kumbh Mela. It's just Sahara to ask, do you want those of us who go to Rishikesh before Shantimai is coming to register somewhere when we come?
I think that would be a great idea. And Tisa is taking the lead on the setup crew for Lakshman Jula.
Mm.
And I know that there's a WhatsApp group that has been started. Are you involved in that? I think that's a great way to start.
Well, I might be. I don't know.
Yeah. I can add you to the thread, Malika.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Maybe we can send out a link via
because I know we are several people from Denmark, Sweden coming before several days before. Yeah.
That's great. That's really good to know.
Yeah. Okay.
We would love to have an overview of who who will be so that we know how much needs to be done before the Kumbh.
Okay.
So Rush and I are both going to
Great. Mm-hmm. But that's WhatsApp and you.
Yeah, I'll add you to the thread, and then
okay,
you can just, if I'll send you a message, and if you want to tell me who else is coming from Denmark, I can add them too.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
All right, do we have any other questions, comments, suggestions, and or complaints? Looking through, I see nothing and nobody. So to reiterate, please sign up. Let me know you're coming. I'm going to put the Mr. Haraloka's already up there. Thank you, Anfisa. And we still have the site password protected because we're now, right now, the only people that have access to that site are Shanti Mai Sangha. Very soon we're going to open it up so that other people can sign up. For that time, we're going to be pretty much focused on Shanti Mai Sangha during that period, so that it'll only be, there might be one or two other people that are there for other, you know, but it'll be just Shanti Mai Sangha that will be there during that time. If you want to come earlier, if you want to come early and help out, if you want to stay longer, if you want to be there in a way that's different from the setup, just drop me an email, and we will work it out for sure. And let me put the email address. See if I can remember it. Shanti Local 5, spelled correctly, @gmail.com. If you send me an email with your questions and concerns, if you've had difficulty signing up because your credit card is being declined, I'm seeing, you know, little notes from our credit card provider. Do not concern yourself with that. Get your plane ticket, get your visa to India. Show up in India at Delhi by the 9th of December or 9th of February, and we will get you down to Prayagraj.
I'm sorry, just to add to that, I had a problem when I put my credit card through. It was easily remedied by calling the credit card company. And so when you're putting the process through, if something doesn't happen, call your credit card company right away, and they will likely be able to walk you through the next steps. So, and it was easy to resolve after the first decline.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for that, Sri. Sanatan Shashwati, is there anything else you'd like to share? Anything that we haven't covered that you think people should know about the Kumbh Mela? We'll have another meeting next Sunday also, so it's not the last moment to share information.
We have covered almost everything. I just wanted to say that we have enough vehicles also planned for, you know, the airport or the railway station transfers, so that also will not be any issue. We'll try to manage it all hassle-free with enough vehicles, and there will be no squeezing in or, you know, that way, so it will be all taken care of.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. And if that's all we've got, that's all we've got. And we'll see you for satsang next weekend, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. That'll be the earlier satsang. And that's all we got. One last chance. Anybody? All right. How are you doing? Thanks for listening, sharing there, and have a wonderful week. We'll see you next week. Namaste.
Namaste. How are you?